Well, good evening. It's good to be together tonight to look into God's Word for a while, to spend some time worshiping Him and glorifying His name. We appreciate you participating in the song service tonight, and the wonderful prayer that was led and the scripture that was read for us. That last song is a solemn song in a lot of ways, but it always lifts me up as I think about the wonders and the beauty of God's Word, and how desirable and wonderful that it is. And it's a great song, I think, to lead before we delve into God's Word, looking into the Scriptures tonight, and that's what we intend to do. How do you feel about wearing labels on your clothing? You like having the name brand labels on your clothing? Maybe some go for the Gucci and the Prada and such as that. I don't know what's popular right now. Some people just wear things like Nike and Aeropostale and all of that, and that's name brand to them, or that's a famous label to them. Never understood about the Aeropostale thing. You know, that just means airmail, I think in French or something. I don't know why people wear airmail on their clothing, but that seems to be a label that a lot of people like. Personally, my favorite label in clothing is polo. I don't ever buy it off the rack, but occasionally when I'm in the thrift store, I'll find an old polo shirt, you know, that fits me. And I like to wear it around because people say, wow, you got a polo shirt, that's nice and fancy. And I say, yeah. Yeah, it's my favorite brand because, you know, I'm po and I'm low. So, so that's why that's my favorite brand. I wonder about labels. Sometimes in clothing we like to wear them, but in other areas of life maybe we don't like to. Whether it's, the political arena or social aspects of life. And certainly in religious matters, people have different opinions about different labels, their validity, and really what it's describing when you use a certain label. I'd like to talk tonight about wearing the conservative label in religious matters. Now, this doesn't have to do with politics, but it has to do with being labeled a conservative when it comes to religious things. There's a preacher by the name of Wes McAdams among our institutional brethren who has a very popular blog entitled Radically Christian. And I see articles from Wes McAdams quite a bit, either shared or liked on my Facebook feed, sometimes maybe even come in an email or something like that. And I'll just have to say he's a gifted writer, and he's a good student of Scripture in many ways. Most of the articles are valid. Most of them have scriptural points. But like anybody that you read or listen to as far as a sermon goes, you need to examine what's being said in light of the Scriptures. You need to think for yourself, not just let them lead you down a path. And I would certainly recommend that if you read his articles or anybody else's, mine, whoever's it might be, that's the approach that you take to it. Brother McAdams considers himself a conservative. That would be his word. Although we could point out a number of areas where his doctrine and practice do not agree with Scripture. The church where he preaches, which is Baker Heights in Abilene, Texas, has a fellowship hall in which common meals are shared. They publicize the work of the church as including the support of children's homes, Christian service organizations, quarterly blood drives, financial counseling, helping the unemployed, so on and so forth. So that's a bunch of the stuff that the Baker Heights Church is into. I don't believe Brother McAdams could find a scripture for a local church being authorized to be involved in any of that. But as I said, in many ways, he's a good student of Scripture and has some good things that he writes and says. One article of his, originally written in 2014, that I've seen several times again lately, is entitled, Why You May Not Be As Conservative As You Think. Now, let me say that again. The article is, Why You May Not Be As Conservative As You Think. To me, it's just a little bit ironic that Brother McAdams would write an article with that title to it, because I don't think he's as conservative as he thinks, but that's besides the point. Again, the article had some good points to make, and I think some things, though, that probably need to be reconsidered. I say all of this because I'm going to make reference to this. This sermon's not about that article. But it did get me to thinking about some things and about this conservative label that I want to talk about tonight. the point of Wes McAdams' article, and some of you probably have seen it, is basically that if we're going to claim to be conservative with the scriptures, then we should be conservative on everything and not just on some things. And that is a really wonderful point. The main thrust of the article, you know, you can't pick and choose what you're going to be conservative on regarding scripture. If you're going to say I'm conservative with respect to God's word, then you need to be conservative with all of it. And that is a very valid point and one that is, I think, much needed. McAdams indicates that a common problem with so-called conservative brethren, and again, he would include himself in that number, is that we're just not consistent in being conservative. And so he says, for instance, that we conserve the Bible teaching about proper worship, but we don't preach on grace. We are conservative on church organization, but we don't practice brotherly love. We are conservative when it comes to insisting on purity in our personal lives, morality, but we're not focused enough on evangelism. Now, he's not leveling that charge against everybody that claims to be conservative. He mentions at the end of his article that he knows people that are consistent, he thinks, in these areas. And I would like to introduce him to the church at Eastside, because I believe that we have a great consistency of being conservative in all of those areas. Everything can use work, but I think we're striving to be conservative with God's word and applying it to our lives in those areas. So that really brings me to the thing that I want to talk about. Should there even be a conservative label? That's maybe the starting point tonight. And if there should be, what does it mean to wear it? And should we want to? Labels can be used or misused. Any label can be, I think. But in religious matters, they are certainly scriptural. There's really not even any doubt about that. You start looking through the scriptures, and there are a number of labels that the apostles use for various doctrines or people or groups or whatever. One that just is really obvious is found over in Revelation chapter 2, where John, speaking for Jesus, talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Well, when he uses that phrase, that encompasses an entire doctrine. He's just using a label, Nicolaitans here, which really describes a number of doctrines, apparently, and a mindset that these people had. But it's plainly a label that he uses, sort of as a shorthand to represent, you know, everything that these people stood for. So he uses that in chapter 2 and verse 6, where he commends, by the way, the church at Ephesus for fighting against it, Revelation 2:6, and then uses it again in Revelation 2:15, where Pergamos is condemned for allowing it to be among them. And then I think also the church in Thyatira, although the label's not used there, had a problem with the same doctrine, the same practice that was labeled the Nicolaitans. You can find other labels, you know, the circumcision. What does that mean? Paul will talk about those of the circumcision. Well, you know, all the Jews were circumcised. A lot of the Christians in New Testament times were circumcised, but that label had a specific meaning, and we would say, well, those are the Judaizing teachers among the Christians, probably. We understand what that label meant, and Paul uses that. He uses a label that's more negative, even, when he calls them the concision or the mutilation in one place. So you have those kinds of labels, and I think others that could be mentioned. So the labeling itself is not a problem, biblically speaking. Labels have value if they're used as reasonably accurate descriptors and in a proper context. And both of those things, I think, need to be part of the deal. They need to be accurate, you know, really describe what it is that you're talking about, and they need to be used and understood in a given context. As I said, conservative doesn't mean the same thing when you're talking about religious matters or dealing with the Bible as it does when you're talking about political matters. I know some people think that it does, that it means the same thing, but it does not mean the same thing. A conservative politically may be poles apart from a conservative scripturally. And so, you know, you have to look at the context in which a label like that is used. I believe that being conservative is an important part of being a follower of Christ. And again, I'm going to have to define what I mean by conservative and the context in which I'm using that. But I think if you allow me to define it, what it means that I mean, what it is that I mean when I use that label, I think you'll agree with me that being conservative in the sense that I'm going to be talking about is something that's important to do and to be. Let me read a couple of verses to you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We'll start there. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in it. The word that I want you to notice is keep. You need to keep the commandments to know God. You don't keep the commandments, you don't know God. 1 John 3 and verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Keeping commandments is an integral part of having power in prayer. We have the things we ask for in part because we keep his commandments. You see how important that is. It's pretty vital to know God, and to know him, you have to keep his commandments. It's pretty vital to have power in your prayer. And that's only going to come about if you keep his commandments. So this keeping commandments business is pretty important. And then 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. He who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. So having an abiding relationship, dwelling with God and him with you, is also predicated upon keeping commandments. Those things go hand in hand at least. And keeping commandments expresses our love for God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. And that's kind of an important thing that we love God, right? That's pretty big deal. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The word keep, when it comes to commandments and the word of God, is used an awful lot of times in Scripture. I noticed in the reading Johnny gave for us tonight from Psalm 119, 1 through 24, I had this on my mind already, and I was noticing as he was reading along that the idea of keeping God's word or keeping the commandments or keeping the precepts is found four times in those 24 verses. I mean, it's all over Scripture. Now, you might say, well, what does keep have to do with conservative? The way I'm using the word conservative, really it means keep. The Greek word that's translated keep in 1 John, in all of these verses that we looked at, means to attend to carefully, to take care of, to guard, to keep a thing in the state that it's in. Now, if you keep something in the state that it's in, you guard it, you protect it, what are you doing with it? You're conserving it. That's what conservative is. When we talk about conserving God's word, we guard it, we protect it, we keep it in the state that it's in, we don't fiddle with it, we preserve it. That's conservative. That's pretty much the definition of conservative. Conserve means to protect from harm or destruction. These are pretty much dictionary definitions of these words. And there's a Hebrew word, which, according to Brown, Driver, and Briggs' Hebrew lexicon, has, again, pretty much this same meaning. That means to keep, to guard, to watch, to ward, to protect, to save, to retain, to treasure up, to observe. All of those words, the word keep. So if you would allow, and I think it's very fair, to look at this word keep that's found so many times in both Old and New Testaments, found so many times to talk about our relationship with the Word of God, and we're told over and over again, keep it, keep it, keep it, keep it. And it doesn't just mean to obey it, it certainly includes that, but the more primary meaning is to guard, protect, and preserve it, which has this idea of conservation. Being conservative. I think you'll have to allow that that's a very fair definition of the meaning of the word conservative, keep. And it's very fair, then, to say, in that sense, we need to be conservative. I told you all to agree with me about that, right? It's kind of hard to get around that. Now, there may be other senses in which, no, we don't want to be conservative. But certainly in that sense, when it comes to our relation to the Word of God, that's what we'd want to be. And so, we need to be conservative. We need to be conservative, as has really been already noted in 1 John. We need to be conservative to maintain a relationship with God, both for ourselves and for generations to come. In the 103rd Psalm, for instance, the psalmist says in verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them." You have here the conservative idea of keeping the covenant, remembering the commandments. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being conservative. And that's what's required of a person to have this relationship with God, to have His mercy on us from everlasting to everlasting. And then going over to the New Testament, just to pick out a verse or two that illustrates the point that I'm making. John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." If we want to have God in our lives, making his home with us, we've got to keep his word. We need to be conservative when it comes to the word. Preserve it, protect it, guard it, obey it. All of those concepts go into that. Not only, though, for ourselves, but also for future generations. The idea of conserving God's word and protecting it and guarding it, not letting it be, you know, fiddled with or destroyed or anything happen to it or altered in any way, so that we can pass it down, not only apply it to us, but pass it down to the following generations. That's critical for every generation of God's people to understand how important that is. The Psalms have a lot to say about the need to faithfully transmit God's word, to keep it, to conserve it from one generation to the next. And just a number of Psalms talk about that. I note especially Psalm 48 here in verses 12 through 14, where faithful Israelites are instructed to walk about Zion and go all about her and count her towers and mark her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell the generation following, "For this is God, our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death." The concept here is, children, you notice everything about Jerusalem, all that God has done for us, every last single solitary thing, and this represents our history with God, who he is, what he's blessed us with, his city, all of this, and you need to tell your children all of this so that they can understand who God is and pass it down to following generations. As I said, there are a number of Psalms that have this same principle in them, passing down the truth to following generations. Well, just as the Israelites needed to know exactly how everything was to be in Zion so that they could pass that information on to the next generation, the older generation of today needs to know exactly how things are to be in dealing with Scripture, applying it to the church, applying it to our personal lives, so that we can pass that generation, that information, down to the next generation. What are we talking about? We're talking about being conservative. Now, that has yet to answer the question of whether or not you want to wear the label of being conservative. All we've said so far is that we ought to want to be conservative in this sense. I've noticed that the label conservative being used in ways that I think are not in line with what I'm talking about. If I can just give an illustration of what I mean. Well, you know, sometime in conversation with a brother in Christ, the name of some brother will come up in a good way often. A brother will tell me, well, he's conservative, or more often, he's a conservative. And it might be that I know this brother that is being talked about, and he is sound in the faith when it comes to the work of the church, for instance. But he is way off when it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so, in that sense, he's not conservative at all. He doesn't stick with the scriptures. But to a lot of people, and what I'm getting at is, to a lot of people, when we use the word conservative, we equate it with being right on the work of the church, non-institutional. So in our minds, conservative and non-institutional mean the same thing. I want to be very clear, that's not how I'm using conservative tonight. Because you can be right on the work of the church and on institutionalism, and wrong as all get out on every other scripture there is. You see, in that case, you're not conservative. You're not keeping the word, which is really kind of the point of Brother McAdam's article to begin with, was you might be right on this one thing over here, but you're just as far off as you could be on something else. So unless we're going to be consistently conservative with the Word of God, it's not really a correct way to use the label. Unless we're talking about somebody, we say, well, he's conservative. Do I mean by that he's really keeping the Word of God through and through, as far as I can tell, and sticking with it and preserving it and obeying it in every aspect? That's really how the word ought to be used, in my estimation. That's what keeping the Word of God is really all about. It's not just whether he's right on one or two given issues. And so, we come down to a point here of asking this question, are you going to wear this label, conservative? Wes McAdams wrote, and I quote, "I will not wear the label conservative as a badge of honor. After all, doing so would mean I am not following the New Testament pattern of humility. And besides that, I do not feel I have been consistent and balanced enough to be called truly conservative." Now, earlier in the article, he identified himself with the conservatives, but here he says he's not going to really wear that label because he doesn't feel he's been consistent personally enough in doing that. That's a very honest admission on his part. But I don't believe he's being consistent here. And I don't think we would be either. Being conservative is a good thing. It's a praiseworthy thing. Would somebody say, well, you know, that name Christian means a lot. But if I would wear the name Christian, well, you know, maybe I'm being too proud to let myself be called a Christian. We know that's not true, right? Because we know that in wearing the name Christian, it's not a matter of pride for us, it's a matter of glorifying Christ. So I don't think that first argument that he has holds. You know, if you're wearing a name that's really a scriptural kind of idea, or you're wearing a label that's a scriptural good thing, that's not a matter of pride at all. It's a matter of saying, I'm following Christ. I'm doing what Christ wants me to do. You see, what we've said is that being conservative is following the words of Christ, which kind of equates it with being a Christian. And so to say, well, I can't call myself a conservative is basically saying I can't call myself as one who keeps Christ's words, which is basically saying I can't call myself a Christian. And that, none of that follows to me. It's not a matter of personal pride. It's just a matter of describing whether or not you are a follower of Christ. In wearing the label conservative, or in using it to describe somebody else, I'm not so much interested in people calling me conservative. That would be fine if you want to, but I'm interested in how I might use it in describing somebody else. But in using that label, all I'm saying is that here's somebody who I believe keeps the words of Jesus. And that's what being a Christian is all about. Being conservative is a praiseworthy thing. 1 Corinthians 11:2, Paul says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." That is a beautiful description of conservative. You keep Corinthians, you keep the traditions, the things that I gave you from Christ, you keep them just as I delivered them to you. That's the definition of conservative. And Paul is saying, I'm praising you for being conservative. That's a good thing. It's a praiseworthy thing. And I'm like Paul. You know what? If I've got brethren who are doing what's described there, I'm going to praise them for it. I'm going to tell them, I'm thankful to God that you are conservative, that you're keeping the things that have been delivered to us by the apostles. Being conservative is standing fast. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Again, holding on to it, keeping it like it is, not changing it, preserving it, guarding it, protecting it. All of these ideas are in what Paul is telling the Thessalonians to do. And in doing so, they're standing fast. They're holding those things that they've been taught. And lastly, being conservative really matters. Fascinating statement in 1 Corinthians 7:19. Circumcision is nothing, Paul says. Uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. And I agree. My intention, and I hope yours is to be a keeper of the flame of truth. To guard it, to protect it, to let it shine in this world. Unchanged. Until the Lord shall come. I believe it's a high calling that we have. To keep. To be the keepers of God's word. And so, whether you want to be called conservative or not, I want you to know if I call you conservative, it's a compliment. And if God sees you as conservative, he sees you as somebody who's doing with his word what he wants to be done. Thank you for your kind attention tonight. I hope that this lesson will spark thinking on your part. Not just about the label itself, but about how we want to deal with God's word and what we want to be known for as God's children. There might be one here tonight who has not kept the word in one way or another. Maybe you tried to change what it says because it didn't suit you. Maybe you argued with it because you didn't want to obey it. Maybe you just refused to obey it. In all of those scenarios, you haven't kept the word. We'd ask you to reconsider that. And keep the word tonight. Accept it. Preserve it in your heart. And obey it. You're subject to the invitation of Christ. Now's a good time to obey. Keep God's word. Come while we stand and sing.